Well, good evening and welcome to Steadfast. It is so good to have you here once again as we continue our series in Proverbs chapter 2. We've been thinking about what it means to live in wisdom. Last week we saw the corrupting man, the man who had speech that led us down paths that were crooked, easy to get on, but crooked. This week we turn to the strange woman. And these two are two sides of the same coin. A coin that is that temptation to get off God's path. Now, if you've been here with Steadfast for a while or come to Little Hills on Sunday nights, one thing that won't sound strange or foreign or unsurprising to hear me bring up is Route 66. You know that I love that road. I think it's one of the hidden gems of Missouri to travel Route 66 and see all the sights, both the beautiful nature that is a little bit easier to see on a smaller road than on the interstate, and also all the interesting history, the closed down old motels and so on. So I love going down it. I love talking about it, as you know, and so if that's all true, it feels like I should be able to navigate it. But there's one challenge. There's a bit of a difficulty if you've tried to follow Route 66 across the state. It's no longer an official US highway, so the highway department doesn't invest money in making sure all the signs are up. There are volunteers and nonprofit organizations that put up historic Route 66 signs. I'm glad they do. But since so many people love Route 66, people like to take those signs, take them as a souvenir. And since it's volunteers and nonprofits putting up those signs, there are often places along the route where there isn't clear marking. Maybe there had been, but it's been stolen. And it can be a bit of a challenge to navigate. And there's one place in particular that is my nemesis. It's in Marshfield, Missouri. A few years ago, they put in a roundabout. Roundabouts drive me crazy in general. Do they drive any of you crazy? They drive me crazy because it feels like you get one of those double wide ones and you're not sure which lane ends where on it and where you should be if you just want to go straight and so on. It boggles my mind. I can't blame this particular roundabout as being one of those. It's a simple one-lane roundabout. But the problem is, as I pull up to it and the sign isn't there pointing to which way Route 66 continues, I've made the wrong choice a lot. So much so that all three options in front of me when I pull up to the roundabout, well, they all seem familiar. And I look at those different options, and as they seem so familiar, I keep making the wrong choice because I can't simply say, well, oh, I've gotten off track. This doesn't seem familiar. Every time I make a choice, whether it's the right one or the wrong one, I find myself questioning myself. This seems familiar. Does that mean I'm yet again in this place I'm not supposed to be? Or is it familiar because it's where I'm supposed to be? I've gone 10, 20, 30 minutes down the road thinking I'm on the right path and actually going in the opposite direction I wanted to go. That's what we run into in life. And that's why we have this section here in Proverbs 2, because God knows that we come up to all kinds of roundabouts in our lives, and oftentimes we've been down the different choices on that roundabout so often that we're not sure which one's the familiar because it's wrong and we need to flee it versus the familiar because it's right and it's the good path that God wants us on choice. We're not sure which is which. And we find ourselves making the same wrong choices over and over again because we confuse the familiar in our minds with what's good and proper and true from God. Well, that's what we're going to be thinking about tonight. How do we tell? Because on our own, we get ourselves lost. We go down strange paths. And even worse, they don't seem strange to us. So let's pray that God would help us to understand which paths are the good paths and which paths only seem that way because we've gone down them so many times, and that he would help us to be people of integrity and faith. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would help us, that you would guide us down paths of righteousness. We know that's why you've given us your wisdom, to help us to understand what's good, and not just good because it's pleasing to you, but it's good because you made us. You know what's good for us. Here you are giving us wisdom that ultimately is beneficial to us, and yet so often we turn away from it. Would you help us to see this calling not as a burden, but rather as a sign of your love? And would you help us to have wisdom even when we're confused and we're going around and around that runabout? When we make the wrong choice, would you help us to know that you are a God of grace who guides us back to the right path? We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's go ahead and pick up in chapter 2 of Proverbs, verse 16. It says, "So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, the adulteress with her smooth words." Like I said, this figure that we run into now, she's the other side of the coin of the man we had last week. A man who uses clever phrasing to guide us to love things that are evil. So too here. Now, let me just pull it back up for a second. If you look at this phrase, the forbidden woman, your translation may translate it differently. It may be translated strange or foreign. The gist here is a woman who has found herself outside of God's ways. And the key thing we need to understand is what strange is or foreign is. It's not that she is from a different land. She could be, but that's really not relevant. We can tell if someone comes for the first time to our city very easily. If they're just from a different part of the country, they may speak the same language, but they don't know where anything's at. They get lost. There's little local businesses that everybody here knows that they don't know. They haven't yet come to appreciate in St. Louis gooey butter cake and St. Louis style pizza and toasted ravioli. So we can tell, oh yeah, maybe this person's from Chicago, or maybe this person's from New York, or maybe this person is from California. Maybe they don't know these things yet. So there's that. Now, then someone travels and they come from a different country and they don't even know the language. Well, you can really spot someone like that easily because you talk to them for a moment and you realize you can't communicate unless you know that person's language. Well, that's easy. And I think we'd like to think that sin is easy to spot in that way, right? And so as we look at this, if you see forbidden woman or foreign woman or strange woman, you think, well, when I encounter sin that's going to lead me to take the wrong turn on God's roundabouts, I'm going to know, right? This crazy lunatic walking down the streets, oh, there's the strange woman. I know I shouldn't have anything to do with her. But that's not what's being referred to here. As the phrasing is being applied here, she's strange because she's outside of God's way. She's strange because she's not obeying God's covenant law. She's strange because she's broken her human commitment to her husband, but more importantly, her commitment to God as she breaks her marriage vow. And in doing so, she's strange. But because that's the thing that makes her strange, it's not where she's from or how she speaks or anything like that, it doesn't mean that she's going to immediately appear strange. That's really important. Because as long as we think that sin is going to always appear really alien to us, that it's totally different than us, that we will see it right away, we're not going to have our guards set. That's why last week we talked about how the man uses clever words. So too here. She has her sweet words that appear good, but are actually destructive. And the important lesson we take from this is that strange can appear to be the exact opposite. Strange can appear to be familiar. So if our guide is, I'll know when I'm doing something wrong because it's going to seem so different, well, we're assuming a number of problematic things. One, that is always very apparent. Two, that our own paths that we've gone down are so aligned with God that we'll know that deviating off of them is clearly leading in a bad direction and staying on them is good. Neither of those are good assumptions. And we need to be ready to recognize that oftentimes the strange thing, the problematic thing, well, it's the thing that actually feels familiar. Sometimes you're turning down that roundabout and you go down the road that you've gone down 30 other times mistakenly. I hate to admit it, but on that one roundabout, at one point, I actually went down the same wrong road twice in a day because I'd gone down the others, I'd gotten confused. I actually gave up on the correct route at one point because I thought, well, this doesn't seem quite right. It doesn't seem familiar because I hadn't made that mistake. And I went right back to the mistake. And we can do that with our sin as well. So we need to recognize what's the problem here. And the big problem here is that she hasn't taken what she's committed to doing before God seriously. She hasn't listened to God's law and what he says is good and bad. And this is the thing that we need to be watching for in those we surround ourselves with and in our own hearts. Are we willing to bend the places where God has called us to stay firm? Are we willing to ignore God's good law? Because we can become estranged from God's way and not even realize it. It feels like we're still on the path, and what we don't realize is the reason it feels familiar is because we keep going off the path. A lot of times it feels more uncomfortable, more foreign when we're actually on God's path because we're sinners who make so many mistakes. We're not looking at the right measurements. We're not looking at what really defines what's good and what's bad. We're really going by what's comfortable and what's uncomfortable. Last week in Bible study, or maybe it was the week before, we were talking about the old sitcom Sanford and Son. And one of the ongoing plot lines in this sitcom about a father and son junk dealer and their various adventures is their next door neighbor, Julio. Now, Julio is from Puerto Rico, and Fred is convinced throughout the series that that means he's a foreigner. He doesn't acknowledge that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. What he does know is Julio speaks with an accent and he speaks Spanish. And that makes him, as far as Fred is concerned, an invader coming into their neighborhood. They're in Watts, and Watts shouldn't have Puerto Ricans, he keeps saying. He's adamant about this. And the ongoing shtick of the series is that it seems like almost every time Julio shows up, Fred's so busy looking at some aspect of what he sees as foreign in Julio, he doesn't recognize the actual problem confronting them, someone stealing from the junkyard or some other problem that's actually genuinely strange, genuinely foreign from the good, that's going to affect Fred, and he misses it because he's looking at what he thinks is foreign. And he always gets it wrong. So often, our alert antenna go up for what's foreign, and what we think is foreign or what is strange is someone's accent, someone's language, and what we're not seeing is someone's actions. Fred doesn't see when Julio's often the one that's coming to help him because he's too busy looking for the foreigner and missing the actual foreign, the actual strange as someone does something horrible to Fred behind the scenes while Fred's not looking. He's too busy looking at Julio. That's what we do so often with sin. The real sin, the sin that's going to actually get us, the sin that sneaks up on us while we're busy looking at other people's sin and thinking, well, that looks strange. That looks problematic. There's someone that I should avoid because look at him, look at her. That person's clearly sinful. And the actual strangeness that's entering into our borders is the strangeness that feels all too familiar to us and we don't even notice it. The one that we think is trustworthy because he or she speaks with the accent that we do, that acts like we do, but is actually doing what's displeasing to God, and then we go down the wrong path. I think that's what we need to keep asking ourselves as we evaluate our own hearts and the actions of others, as well as, am I alert to the things that are genuinely strange? In other words, those things that pull us away from God's covenant, or am I defining strange? Am I defining as is forbidden simply what I'm not comfortable with? They're not the same. Julio is a citizen, but Fred isn't looking properly and understanding what citizenship is. And so often we don't understand our genuine citizenship, and the citizenship we should care about is the citizenship in the kingdom of God. It's the citizenship of comfort that we're looking at. Being challenged here to really recognize what's displeasing. What's displeasing about this woman that we're told about in Proverbs? That she doesn't care about her commitment. She's not being faithful. And God's definitely calling us to faithfulness. Because as we are unfaithful to Him and to others, what happens? Well, we find ourselves estranged not just from His way, but from His grace. And that's what we see in verse 17. What does this woman do? She forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. What's going on here? Well, the people who answer her call, who come into her presence, what do? They start to go down the path she does. And it talks about death here, and it doesn't mean that the person's immediately going to die. What does it mean? It means the person is walking away from God. That's what we're being challenged with every time we confront sin. Am I going to go down the sin path that feels like it's familiar and comfortable? Or am I going to actually ask this thing that comes up to me that is sin, are you actually part of God's kingdom or not? And if it's not part of God's kingdom, I don't want anything to do with it. The problem for the person being described here who encounters the strange woman is he doesn't ask that. He doesn't ask if she is part of the covenant community. He might even be misled by the fact that she's from the same town or from the same region. She's an Israelite. Presumably she is. And we get a hint even to move us in that direction. You see, it says that she has broken her covenant before the Lord. Well, that means she's part of God's people, at least externally. She isn't from Moab or Edom or Egypt. There's nothing easy that you can look at and say, oh, she's clearly outside of this community. She's godless. No, she's part of the Israelites. She's just chosen not to care about what God cares about. And that's the problem. And so what we're told to be on guard for is not whether someone uses churchy language, whether someone seems to put on a good face of being Christian and caring about the things that God cares about, but is the person actually living in a way that is on God's paths? Or are their actual ways foreign to God? Are they actually paths that lead those who go along for the ride away from God? It's all about a lack of loyalty to God. That's what makes us strange or not strange in a genuine sense, foreign or not foreign in a genuine sense. Because if our citizenship that matters is citizenship in the kingdom of God, then the thing we don't want is to toss that kingdom of God card and start holding cards of citizenship in different parts of the world and holding that up and saying, this is what means I'm okay. Now, to be clear, I'm speaking metaphorically. There's nothing wrong with being a citizen. It's a good thing. God's given us worldly governments. But metaphorically speaking, those citizenship cards we hold up, they're different sin cards, right? Here are my preferences that I'm going to say are the way of God. Here are the things that are comfortable to me, and I'm going to say those are the marks of being non-strange. And what God says is, hold up, is it aligned with my word or not? If it's aligned with my word, it's good. If it's deviating from my word, even if it's supposedly in the defense of my word, even if it's draped in the language of my word, then it's strange. Might feel familiar, but it's strange. I think this last week, and it's kind of funny coming to this passage this week, I'm sure all of you have encountered by this point so-called Coldplay Gate about the tech CEO who was with a woman at a Coldplay concert, brought up on the camera, and the scandal of it that made it go viral around the internet, they both ducked down because the woman he was with was not his wife. Well, here we come to this passage here. Clearly not good. But what struck me as I was thinking about that, and it couldn't help but cast a shadow over preparing on this particular passage, is that we revealed an awful lot about ourselves as that video went viral. By the end of the weekend, the Philly Fanatic mascot at the baseball game was reenacting the scene on the camera at the baseball game, and everyone was laughing. And there were all these memes, some of them more humorous than others, playing up what happened at this concert. And it struck me that while ostensibly we know this was bad, and that's why it went viral, that it went from being this awful thing to something that we as a society, what were we doing? We were laughing, and we were finding ways to turn it into greater and greater comedic skits. It's kind of convicting that a lot of times we fall into those traps. I fall into those traps where we see other people's hardships and sins, and we actually turn them into something funny. How often do I do that? How often, if not into something funny, into something that's affirming of myself? Oh, I haven't done that. I haven't done this. I haven't done this and this and this. And yet, what do I say about myself as I'm in that mode? What do we say about ourselves? Because here was a truly ugly, broken, tragic moment that this breaks families and does untold destruction that will be not seen on camera, not laughed at, but it's very real. How will people reckon with that in those families? How will the kids reckon with that? What will happen there? Well, there's all those things, and is that what we're really holding in mind when we watch a baseball mascot reenacting it? I don't think that's what I was thinking. I don't think that's what most of us are thinking. And you know what that means? It means we're on some strange roads too. Because what we should see when we see broken covenants is something sad and tragic. We should grieve. There's something bad there. And it's something that should shake us in a way that oftentimes it doesn't. I hear all these true crime podcasts and true crime TV shows. And how often do we turn the worst of what happens in life into entertainment? It's something that isn't just about getting to the truth or understanding the human condition. Sometimes it's that. I'm not saying we should never want to know about the evils that go on in the world and try to understand more about the human condition. But how often do we just turn it into almost like some kind of exciting drama, something to be amused by, to laugh at, to pick sides on so that we can feel like it's a sporting event? How often do we do those things? And in that, revealing our own break with God's covenant faithfulness. And I think that's where it's so important as we look at this verse, we don't simply say, okay, have I done this? Because pretty easy to brush off this passage if that's what we do, right? We look at, and if you're married, then you can ask if you've committed adultery. Okay, I'm good. I'm not, right? I mean that, and then if you're not married, then okay, I'm not worried about it. But the point is deeper, because it's about whether I'm being faithful to God in the moment or not. And all of us every day are challenged with that. And all of us every day are going to have those places where our wanderings take us away from God's faithfulness, and we don't even realize it. And that's why we get to death here. It's the heart of how we react to all those things. Because you see, the problem with this strange woman and which the man who follows her runs into is that he has dulled his conscience, that he's dulled his focus on the Lord, that he doesn't really even care her story, and he's okay with it. And so they wander off into a foreign land, far from God's promises. And so too we every day have those opportunities. Am I going to ask God to redirect me on that roundabout, or am I going to peel off, go down a road that feels familiar? We're really good at this as a society. Lots of familiar roads, they're actually driving us further away from the refreshing grace of God. And not only ourselves then, but those around us, right? People see us, see what we approve of, see what we're amused by. And is it life-giving or isn't it? I think probably in truth for almost all of us, we're gonna have to say sometimes it is life-giving, but sometimes it's not. Here's the heart of the broken morality that we're reading about here. It's a broken relationship with God. We understand that, then we understand that the implication here is so broad, because anything we do as a broken relationship with God is really, really serious. Not just certain things, not the things we can put in a box and say, okay, have I done this or haven't I? Because every time we morally compromise in any way, and any time we choose the familiar path that's not pleasing to God, it leads to spiritual rot. It leads to new divisions from God. It leads us to driving further and further away from where He's leading us. And that's exactly what Israel ran into. Take a look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 4. It says, have you not just now called to me, my father? You are the friend of my youth. Will he be angry forever? Will he be indignant to the end? Behold, you have spoken, but you have done all the evil that you could. You see, God was challenging Israel for their spiritual adultery, their spiritual unfaithfulness. And in that, they could cry out to the Lord. They could put on the right appearance, do the right rituals, but God's saying, but your heart's constantly going in a different direction. And in that they are strange, they are foreign, in the sense that they can no longer, they're not enjoying the fellowship of being in communion with God. One commentator re related this to what would happen to the lepers in the ancient world, where they were cast out of the city and they had to ring bells and shout unclean and keep people away from themselves. They had a broken fellowship with the community. And when we choose the ways that aren't God's, that when we choose to go down the paths that are familiar but not pleasing to God, we're pulling ourselves out and causing ourselves to have to shout unclean, and we're outside the city. We don't often even realize it because what do you know? There's a whole bunch of us out here, and it feels pretty comfortable. What we don't realize is the beautiful city of God is inside, and He's calling us there. We make the wrong calculations. Reminds me of a video I saw recently. You can see it on screen. It was going around the internet of a man trying to cut down a tree. And it looks like a beautiful tree if you zoom out. So it sort of makes me sad they decided to take it down. But for whatever reason, they decided this tree needed to go. And I have a feeling that maybe these were some amateur tree cutters. Maybe not. That'd be even worse. But they're trying to tune it just right. You can see that big, beautiful tree there, trying to aim it so that it'll go away from the house. And they're taking time to make multiple cuts, getting it ready, getting it so that they can enjoy not worrying about this tree crashing any longer, except they cut it the wrong way. What happens? The very thing they were trying to prevent happens. It falls on their house and collapses the house. The rot, the danger they were trying to avoid, they run right into. And a lot of times in our own efforts to avoid sin, we run into sin. It may not be the sin we're trying to avoid. We might run into a different sin, but we run straight into sin and we collapse the tree on top of our house, right? We're chopping down the tree of one sin, but our miscalculations just bring it right down on top of us. And I think here as we contemplate how do we avoid the strange? We're challenged to ask God to come in and do the cutting for us. Because we're going to try to take that back from God and say, I'll prune my yard, I'll take down the rotten trees. And we don't know which way to cut. I wouldn't know which way to cut that tree to make sure it fell correctly. But a certified arborist would. Well, God's a certified arborist for our lives. And He's saying to us, yes. Obviously, here in this passage, actual literal adultery, it's bad. But so too is all the spiritual adultery we fall into as human beings. All the different ways we're unfaithful to Him. That we show our loyalties to things other than Him, whether it's our careers or our communities, our families, our hopes and dreams, our entertainment, our country, our world. Every time we put our allegiance somewhere else other than Him, we can go down these paths. And it'll often seem very noble because a lot of the things I just mentioned, not all of them, are noble in some context, even in a lot of contexts. And doing God's bidding, doing His work, His calling in our lives will involve them. But the question is, are we putting things in the right order and asking God to constantly guide us? Maybe that tree really needed to come down, but it needed to come down the right way. And as we serve our communities and our jobs and our families and our nation and our world, and we even take time for rest, entertainment, so to speak, we restore ourselves. As we do all those things, we need to do them in a way that's being trimmed the right way so that we don't end up veering into sin, into broken loyalties to the Lord. But rather, we're saying, God, help me to see where I'm in a strange land, where I'm going to veer into a strange land and redirect me. Help me to come back. Sometimes when we ask that question, it's kind of scary because we realize we're kind of far away in some point from where God wants us. But here's the beautiful thing. God knew that when He wrote this down. And He knew that when He sent the prophet Jeremiah to speak to Israel. They were very far away. But He hadn't forgotten them, and He didn't stop loving them. That's true for us today, too. Whatever places we ask that question, we say, oh, I really have veered down the wrong path. I'm 30, 40 miles down the road. I don't even know how to get back, and it looks like I have to just come back, and I'm never going to get back in time. God will pick up our car and move us right back to where we're supposed to be. That's what Jesus does for us. You think about all the people he encountered in his ministry. Many of them were very, very far away. They might have been viewed as the opposite of strange and foreign. They might have been viewed as pillars of the community, but they were very, very far away. They were very, very strange when it came to obeying God's true law and truly wanting a relationship with him and truly loving God and loving their neighbor. They were very far away, but Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you're too far." What did he do? He called them to himself. He calls us over and over to himself too and says, "You're not too far, but quit driving away. Let me point out the places you're going into a strange land because I don't want you there. I want you in the place that's good and life-giving. I want that for you. I want that for the people around you that you are pouring out life-giving action, life-giving care, life-giving wisdom to those around you too. That your words come out as life-giving, that your relationships come out as life-giving. That's what God's calling us to. And he calls us to it wherever we are today and says, I will bring you there. And that's true for both those of us who have trusted in Jesus already and those who haven't, that that offer is there for us where we've just strayed, but we still believe. And if you've never believed, he's offering that to you tonight. Because here's the thing with God. We know that moral compromise leads to spiritual rot, and so we might be all rotten. We might be the tree. We might think we're the tree that needs to be taken down. But with us, God doesn't chop us down. God restores us. He restores us over and over and over again. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we do pray that you would help us to be those who are faithful. Would you help us to see those places? Maybe they're the really big, clear, strange actions, the ones that everyone knows are sin. Maybe they're things swirling around us, pulling us down into a vortex, and we don't even see it because it feels too familiar. The sounds we hear every day that we tune out because we're just used to them. The actions that we can do without even thinking, the places our feet take us without a single bit of direction because they're just well worn in our minds. Lord, would you help us to see those and place them before you? Would you help us to be willing to ask the question of our lives in everything we do, in everything we prioritize? Lord, is this what you want me to do in this? Is this pleasing to you? Is it life-giving? Is it going down the good path that leads to your glory? Or have I wandered off? Have I taken the wrong turn? Would you help us to hear your call to rest in your strength, that you would direct us, and that you'd help us to rest in your gospel, knowing that you are the one who forgives us. That we don't have to be strange. We don't have to live as foreigners in your city, but rather as children of God, citizens of the kingdom. Because you offer that to us even this night, because of our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hope this has been an encouragement to you today. And if it has, would you give it a like or a share? Leave a comment about what is encouraging to you. You don't have to say where your strange lands are. You can share if you'd like, but I'm not encouraging you to do that. You don't have to do that. You can just speak about how God is encouraging you right now, that He is with you. If you have a comment or a question, something you would like to share in the comments, that's wonderful. Or you can use their texting line, which you can see on screen, 833-356-4032. That's 833-356-4032. Just text in there. That's great if maybe it's something where you are struggling in a strange land someplace and you don't necessarily want to write it out there, but you'd like someone to walk with you. We're here and we'd be glad to walk with you through that and pray for you through that. Because here's the thing, we've all been the strange one. We've all had those places where we're not in line with God, where we haven't upheld His faith. And He's the God who brings us into His fellowship and strengthens us and forgives us and then sends us back out because He loves us. And that's true for you too. It'd be great to get to pray with you. I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and I'll look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thank you.